Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
Today is our unit on literature, and we'll be talking about today's subject for the next 3 days. Our featured subject today is The Bell Jar, which is a novel by Sylvia Plath. We'll talk about The Bell Jar in today's program, and next time we'll talk about the author herself. And on the third day, we'll kind of break down the novel and tell you what it means.
Yeah. What we usually do at The Bell Jar is Sylvia Plath's first and only novel, so we'll talk about that. But really, what we're going to be focusing on in particular over the next 3 days is a mental illness and how it doesn't have to stop us, and how actually mental illness is understood better these days than it used to be. If you had some mental problems, even 20, 30 years ago, people would just want to put you in a hospital forever and not have to deal with you. But nowadays, people understand more what it's like and how to deal with these issues.
Okay, so let's talk about today's featured novel, The Bell Jar, by Sylvia Plath. Let's read our lesson for today right now. The Bell Jar is a novel by Sylvia Plath that explores the darker side of life from a young adult's point of view. At the start, the book's main character, a college student named Esther Greenwood, lands a temporary editing job with a magazine in New York. Despite this incredible opportunity, Esther still feels miserable. She has trouble relating to her friends, who she either considers to be too wild or too boring. Soon, she begins to doubt her job skills, and she constantly worries about life after graduation. A major dilemma she faces is whether she should settle down and get married or focus on her career. Her boyfriend, Buddy, possesses many traits of an ideal husband, but he doesn't show any interest in her ambitions. After he admits cheating on her, Esther ends their relationship. When Esther returns to her home in Boston, she immediately receives some bad news. She was denied entry into a writing program. She then falls into a depression. Her doctor prescribes electric shock therapy, but this treatment only makes her condition worse. Esther makes several suicide attempts and is eventually hospitalized and placed in a psychological ward. She receives some good luck when a famous novelist learns of her condition and helps her move to a better facility. With proper treatment, Esther's mental health begins to improve. At the new hospital, she befriends a girl named Joan who had similar experiences. Joan's condition seems to be getting better, but then she unexpectedly hangs herself. At the novel's end, Esther decides to return to college. Although her mental condition has stabilized, she secretly worries she could go mad once again.
Okay, guys, we're going to dive right into our plot of what the story is in our novel, The Bell Jar. It's a novel. It's fiction. It's not true. Someone created this story in their minds. Of course, here our author is Sylvia Plath. Plath is an unusual name. I don't know anyone else with this last name, but she is American, and her first and only novel was titled, or entitled, you could say that too, The Bell Jar. It explores the darker side of life. Darker means not very hopeful, kind of depressing, and if you explore something, it just means you learn about or familiarize yourself with something that's kind of new to you. You might not know too much about it. What does it do? It explores the darker side of life from a young adult's point of view. A young adult would be someone between the ages of, say, 18 and 24, perhaps. Your point of view just means your opinion of something as you look at it. And it's based on your background, how you were raised. We all have kind of different points of view. So how I may see something may be different from how Tom views it. It's your opinion about something. So we're going to kind of take a look at life through the eyes of a young person.
Yeah, in her novel, her only novel, actually this is fairly autobiographical.
Yeah.
A lot of the things actually happened to her. Of course, she changed the names and places and stuff like that. But a lot of it is based on her own experiences.
True.
So at the start of the book, the main character of the book is a college student, and her name is Esther Greenwood. But she does manage to get a job in New York, which would probably make a lot of people happy, an opportunity to live and work in the Big Apple, to be right in the middle of things there, in the center of the universe. Well, here she lands a temporary editing job. If you land something, that means you get it, you secure it. We often talk about this when we talk about jobs. Land a job, or maybe you landed a contract with a big company, and now your boss is going to give you a raise because you landed that contract.
Yeah. It's a temporary job, which means it's not going to last forever. It's for a limited period of time. Nowadays, we have lots of temporary workers. We actually call them temps, but here temporary is an adjective, and it's describing this job she landed with a magazine in New York. It's an editing job. If you edit, you don't write the article itself. You look at what someone has written and you make changes to improve the quality of the writing. You might add some things, take out some things, add a comma, change a verb, but you don't come up with the story. Tom and I both do a lot of editing work here in Taiwan. We have clients who will write things and then will make changes to improve the English. She was quite excited because she landed, even a temporary job in New York would be exciting.
That's getting your foot in the door. It's
true.
At least a start.
Yeah.
But despite this incredible opportunity, Esther still feels miserable. She should be really happy.
Yeah.
She's not totally living in New York yet, but she's got a good start there. Getting a job for a magazine is a pretty good start. It can lead to other things. But despite this, even though this is true, she is still miserable. If something's incredible, like this incredible opportunity, it's like too good to be true, too good to believe, impossible to believe. What an incredible book that was. I couldn't believe it was so good. Or I went to see that rock band in a concert. It was incredible. It was just so great. It's just totally, it blew my mind away.
Wow. Well, even though she gets this incredible or cool opportunity, she still feels miserable. Miserable is a word to describe someone who feels really, really unhappy. Oh, they just feel like the world is going to end. There's no hope. Miserable is a lot worse than unhappy, right? Or sad. Oh, you just feel like you want to curl up on your bed and never leave your room. So she feels miserable. Why? She has trouble relating to her friends. If you relate to someone, you understand them. You kind of agree with their points of view. You like to do the similar things. But if you can't relate to people around you, it's kind of difficult, especially at that age. Why doesn't she relate to them or connect with them? She feels that they're a little too wild. Maybe people in New York go out and party too much. They drink too much. Or some of her friends she thinks are too boring. They don't do anything exciting.
So they're at both extremes.
Yeah.
They're either too wild or they're too boring. And soon she begins to doubt her job skills. And she constantly worries about life after graduation. Now, I've never lived in New York before, but I understand it is quite competitive there. So if you're writing for a magazine or doing editing work, it's probably pretty easy to feel that other people are much better than you. So she begins to doubt her job skills. She doesn't think she's doing good enough. She doesn't think she's good enough to keep this job. And so she's constantly worrying about what she's going to do after she graduates from university. Constantly means it continues for a long period of time. Hopefully none of us will suffer from diseases in which we have to constantly be in pain day in, day out. She's just always worrying about what's going to happen after she graduates, about life after graduation.
That can be really tough. Well, it says here in the next paragraph, she has a major dilemma that is facing her. Okay, a dilemma is a situation where you have to make a tough choice, a difficult decision. You've got some choices in front of you, and you don't know which one is best. so you have more alternatives than you really need. And sometimes that dilemma gives you some choices that are pretty bad. So sometimes you feel like whatever you choose is going to be bad. She has a dilemma she's facing. What is it? Well, here are her choices. She can settle down and get married. Or here's choice number two, focus on her career. So she doesn't know what she should do. It's a dilemma. If you settle down, it means you kind of stay in the same place for a while. Maybe you buy a house, you get married, you have kids. You're not constantly traveling to other countries or trying different jobs. Some friends of mine, when I lived in New York, they just didn't want to settle down. They kept moving from job to job. They'd change boyfriends and girlfriends, and they just never seemed to actually want to, you know, be committed to one certain thing. They were always looking for the next thing.
So that's a choice she has, to settle down, to get married, and to live in one place.
Yeah.
Or she wants to focus on her career. This is probably a dilemma that lots of people face these days, especially women. Men only have one choice. You have to focus on your career either way. But here women get the choice. Hey, I could settle down and become a housewife or maybe work part-time or something. Or maybe I should focus on my career. I should work really hard to be a published writer. Mm. Now, of course, when you're considering getting married, you got to have a boyfriend first. So her boyfriend, Buddy, possesses many traits of an ideal husband, but he doesn't show any interest in her ambitions. So I guess he wants her as a wife, and he doesn't really want her to work. But in any case here, he possesses these traits. If you possess something, usually it means you own something, you have it in your possession, but this means that you have, or these traits belong to you. And a trait, of course, is just a characteristic of your personality. It makes you different from other people.
Yeah, an ideal husband is the perfect husband. So what are some traits of an ideal husband? Well, he's faithful, he's loyal.
Lots of money.
Hardworking. Yeah.
High-paying salary.
Well, those aren't really traits. Those are things he can
well, he works
acquire,
hard,
yeah, obtain. A trait might be that he is funny, he is easy to get along with, he's...
good with kids.
Good with kids.
Likes animals.
Yeah, all these are good
likes,
traits.
Likes traveling and things like that. And
Here's the bad thing, Tom. What is it?
Yeah, he doesn't seem supportive of her career.
Uh-oh.
He has no interest in her ambitions. Your ambitions are the things that you want to do. And I'm sure that being a wife and a mother is a good ambition, but I think she's got bigger ambitions here. She wants to be a writer. She's going to college. She's smart. She's intelligent. It would be an extremely big waste of her time to just settle down and be only a housewife. But it looks like her boyfriend, Buddy, just wants her to be a housewife and a wife and stuff like that. And he later on admits that he cheated on her. And lots of girls don't like that when their boyfriend is fooling around with other girls. So she ends their relationship. Now, if you admit something, that means you confess it. You say that it is true, especially if it's something that you don't want to say or don't want to admit. Yeah, I admit it. I cheated on you. I'm seeing someone else on the side.
Yeah, if you cheat on someone, you could be dating someone else. You could also be unfaithful to them. So it's not something that girls really like. That would be a bad boyfriend if you cheat on your girlfriend. So she decides to end their relationship. She tells Buddy it's over. Buddy actually isn't a real name. It's a nickname. I had an uncle who was named, nicknamed Bud. His real name was Larry Lawrence, so you never know what their real name is. Buddy is only a nickname.
Well, not necessarily. I knew Buddy Wiedebrandt back in my hometown.
That was his real name?
His name was Buddy.
Oh, that's unusual.
But it's rare, yeah. It's rare to have that as a first name. Most of the time, as you said, it's a nickname.
Yeah, he had mean parents. Okay, guys, before we move on and find out what Esther did after she ended her relationship, we're going to listen to her Chinese teacher.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 从今天开始，连续三天，我们都要来看这部文学作品。 英文的名称叫做 The Bell Jar， 中文则是翻成瓶中美人。我们来从第一句开始看， The Bell Jar is a novel by Sylvia Plath that explores the darker side of life from a young adult's point of view。在第一句就告诉我们它的作者是 Sylvia Plath， 而他所探索的呢，就是从一位年轻人的观点来看人生的黑暗面。在这里用了一个动词 explore， 原本是有探险的意思，不过在这里则是有调查跟探究的意思。举个例子来说， We exploredAll possible ways of cutting expenses， 指的就是我们寻求所有可能缩减花费的办法。继续来看第二个句子， At the start, the book's main character, a college student named Esther Greenwood, lands a temporary editing job with a magazine in New York。这里书的主角，他的名称叫做 Esther Greenwood， 他其实呢很幸运的获得了一份纽约杂志编辑的工作，尽管他是 temporary 临时的编辑工作。这里使用的动词用 land 来代表谋得以及获得的意思。事实上呢，虽然机会难得，他却过得不太愉快。在第一段的后半部就提到 She has trouble relating to her friends who she either considers to be too wild or too boring。 那么我们常常在英文里面来表示 have trouble doing something， 代表是做某件事情有困难，而在这里的 relating to somebody 则是有与人和睦相处的意思，所以他没有办法跟他的朋友和睦相处，因为这些朋友他认为，在这里使用了动词 consider， 这些朋友不是太狂野就是太无趣，所以呢他也就开始怀疑自己的工作能力了。接着我们来看到第二段， A major dilemma she faces is whether she should settle down and get married or focus on her career。 Dilemma 在这里指的呢就是一种进退维谷的困境，她所面临的难题就是是否她应该要 settle down，并且呢借由结婚的方式来安顿下来，或者是 focus on her career 来专注于她的事业。我们回头来看 settle down 这个动词片语，其实就是有安定下来或者是安身的意思。继续后面的句子写着， Her boyfriend Buddy possesses many traits of an ideal husband, but he doesn't show any interest in her ambitions。 她的男友呢，事实上拥有许多一个成为理想丈夫的特质，然而男朋友却对这个 Esther 的抱负完全不感兴趣。在这里的 trait 用来当作名词，解释成为特征跟特色的意思。
We're going to take a short break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, let's continue with our lesson. Now we're summarizing our featured novel for today, The Bell Jar by Sylvia Plath. Now the main character, Esther Greenwood, she goes to New York, gets a part-time job, but she's miserable, she doesn't relate to her friends, and she has this dilemma, should I settle down or should I pursue my career? But her boyfriend cheats on her, and so she breaks up with him. Okay, well, it continues here. When Esther returns to her home in Boston, she immediately receives some bad news. She was denied entry into a writing program. So if you want to be a writer, you want to go to some kind of university to better your writing skills, some kind of writer's workshop or something like that. So she went back to Boston there, but she got some bad news. Sorry, you can't come into this writing program. you have been denied entry. And if you get denied or if you are denied, that means someone refuses to let you have what you want.
Mm. Yeah, so they didn't let her enter into this writing program. It's after her bachelor's degree, so it must be maybe a post-bachelor's program. So she goes into this after she finishes. Unfortunately, they don't want her.
Oh, no.
They don't let her in. They deny her entry, and then she falls into a depression. A depression is a state where you are just without hope. And some people who fall into depression aren't even able to leave their houses, their bedrooms. They just lock themselves away and cry and feel depressed, and they don't want to talk or do anything. Sometimes they don't even want to eat.
Exactly. So that's what depression is. And she sees a doctor, a psychologist, and this doctor prescribes ECT, or electric shock therapy. I said ECT, that's actually electric convulsive therapy, but it's basically the same thing. They give you an electric shock, and it forces your body to go into convulsions.
They shock your brain.
Like a seizure, right? And then supposedly that helps you beat your depression if you do it enough times. They don't really do that anymore. Nowadays, it's more medication and stuff like that.
I actually saw it on a TV program called Homeland. They do it, but it's rare.
Okay.
Very
yeah,
rare.
It would be rare. It seems kind of savage, but
it's cruel.
It only makes her condition worse, so it makes her even more depressed. It doesn't help her, and Esther makes several suicide attempts and is eventually hospitalized and placed in a psychological ward. A ward is a section of a hospital. A psychological means having to do with psychology. And yes, indeed, she had these suicide attempts, or you could say she attempted suicide many times. She tried to kill herself, but she failed.
Yeah, a ward is sort of a floor in a hospital. It's a specific little area in a hospital or a prison, but here we're talking about a hospital. Psychology is related to your mind, of course. So they put her in a place for people who have mental problems. So she does receive some good luck when a famous novelist, someone who writes novels, is a novelist, learns of her condition and helps her move to a better facility. A facility is just a place. It could be a building. It could be a sports facility where you go and you exercise. Here it's just a building that has particular equipment that's needed for something. Here we're talking about a mental facility for people with mental problems. And with proper treatment, her mental health begins to improve. So I guess there was better treatment, better doctors at this new place.
Right, and with proper treatment, Esther's mental health begins to improve.
Uh-huh.
She starts to show improvement. She's getting better. And at the new hospital, she befriends a girl named Joan who had similar experiences. If you befriend someone, that means you make friends with that person. So, yes, if you're in a mental hospital, you do have a chance to meet other people who are suffering from the same thing you are. So you can probably relate to each other better if if you got some kind of problem and nobody else has it. It's very difficult to relate to other people. So she was able to meet someone who she could relate to, someone by the name of Joan. I should say J-O-A-N is pronounced Joan most of the time, but I have met people here in Taiwan who insist on pronouncing it as Joanne. I don't know why, but that's pretty rare. Most of the times it's Joan. My aunt's name was Joan, so I would know.
Joanne is spelled differently, J-O-A-N-N-E, or with an E at the end, J-O-A-N-N-E, J-O-A-N-N. My voice teacher was Joanne, so I know how that's spelled. Well, she unfortunately is met with some bad news when her friend Joan unexpectedly hangs herself.
Uh-oh.
If something happens unexpectedly, you didn't anticipate it, it was a surprise to you. And if you hang yourself, it means you use some sort of belt or string or maybe even a sheet from your bed. You tie it up high and then you put it around your neck and you choke yourself to death. So her friend kills herself. That's what hanging yourself does. It's so sad.
Maybe the same thing happened to Sun Mao, the famous Taiwanese writer. She unexpectedly hanged herself in her hospital room at the vet's hospital, I think. That was a long time ago.
So sad.
But unexpectedly, that means people did not expect that. Hey, she was making improvement. I just talked to her the other day. She seemed real chipper, real upbeat, and then she went off and did that. Totally unexpected. And so you could imagine Esther probably was devastated by that. And at the end of the novel, Esther decides to return to college. So she picks up the pieces and is able to return to university. Although her mental condition has stabilized, she secretly worries she could go mad once again. If something stabilizes, it returns to a stable condition. Stable just means it's not suffering from any extremes. She more or less can function. She's not getting depressed. She is able to be normal.
Yeah. Tom mentioned two words I wanted to talk about briefly. Chipper and upbeat. Those are two words that mean very happy. Chipper, C-H-I-P-P-E-R, and upbeat, U-P-B-E-A-T. Those are great words and the opposite of feeling blue or down or depressed.
Down in the dumps, etc. Yeah. So, indeed, that's how the story ends. We're going to find out as we continue, though, that's not how things ended for Sylvia Plath, but that's the subject for tomorrow. Let's continue talking about that then. But for right now, we're going to stop talking and listen to our Chinese teacher.
面对这么多的难题, Buddy 又对 Esther 不忠之后呢, 最后第二段的结果就写着, She then falls into a depression, 而主角便罹患了忧郁症。 Depression 常常用来指的就是这个忧郁的疾病, 事实上它也可以解释成为经济不景气, 所以下次你看到 economic depression 指的就是经济不景气的意思咯。 后面提到他开始就医, 医生使用了电极的疗法, 却不太成功。 第三段的第二个句子写着, Esther makes several suicide attempts and is eventually hospitalized and placed in a psychological ward. 在这里提到 Esther好几次呢, 想要自杀。 在英文里面我们讲到企图或者是试图做什么事情, 我们都可以搭配 make attempts, 而在这里提到了 he or she makes several suicide attempts, 到后来就只好住院, 安置在精神病房了。不过还好他在新的医院里面碰到了一个不错的朋友,跟他有类似的经验, 那么却没想到在朋友病情好转的时候,他却上吊自杀。我们来看一下第三段的最后两句, At the novel's end, Esther decides to return to college. 在小说的结尾,女主角决定要重返大学。Although her mental condition has stabilized, she secretly worries she could go mad once again. 虽然 Esther 精神状况也已经稳定了,但是她却很担心自己有可能会再次的发疯。这里的 stabilize 指的呢就是使稳定固定的意思。我们常常说要稳定物价就可以说 stabilize prices, 名词 stability 安定性的意思。Emotional stability 指的就是情绪的稳定。
Thanks for joining us, everyone. That's just day one of our literature unit. In our next program, we're going to actually be talking about Sylvia Plath and her life. So join us then. For English Digest, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. Goodbye.
Bye.